Welcome to the WTF1 Fantasy F1 show, where we talk about our fantasy league and our favorite picks heading into this time around the Japanese Grand Prix. As always, I'm joined by Amber. Now, each week, we've had a guest that's been more of a content creator, used to kind of talking about F1. This time around, we've got someone who's not only a content creator, but also a little bit of a racing driver as well. So we're going to get even more expert analysis because we're joined by the amazing Cameron Das. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
How are you doing? How's the season been for you so far?
Oh, it's been treacherous. It's been really bad. I've done Grid Rival 3 years in a row now. And the first season I won. Second season, I was in the top 10%. And then this one, oh my God, there's been a lot of mistakes.
We've got a little bit of a battle going on between the three of us because I'm looking at the standings right now. Amber, you're 12th in the Golden Helmet League.
I'm 13th.
And Cam, you 14th. So we're all very close together, separated by 12 points.
I'm very happy to be leading that one. Clearly, I'm the best one out of all of us, and that's why I'm leading it. No,
you're falling from grace, though.
I was doing so well. I was doing so well. So I was about like sixth, I think, maybe, when we first started. And I thought, okay, and Hayden was quite far back, was really enjoying that. And then I've dropped, and now I'm at your level. But Cam, it's okay. We can all chat together and talk about what are we doing wrong.
What can we do to get further up the field? Because Nadia is currently leading the Golden Helmet League at the moment on 2,613 points, and Amber, you're on 2,442. So about, you know, just shy of 200 points off, which is quite a lot. But we are only three races in. How has it been going for your team? Who's been in your team so far? Have you done any changes across the season in those first three races?
It's not been going great. You know, in the beginning, it's weird because I'm looking back to my original choices and I'm just thinking there wasn't a whole lot of logic to this, even though I thought I did put some logic into it. So my original lineup was Verstappen, Hamilton, Stroll, Bottas, Sargent, and Mercedes as my team.
Interesting lineup.
Yeah, it's weird because I had Hamilton in there and I was pretty sure he wasn't going to do well. I don't know. There's something about just like from my experience and like switching between teams and stuff. If you announce you're going to leave a team before you've actually left, like you just typically don't do well, whether it's the driver maybe not putting in the same amount of effort or the team doesn't put the same amount of effort, but just something just it usually doesn't go right. But for some reason, I still kept Hamilton and that has really not done me well.
So no logic there whatsoever. Yeah. You thought Hamilton's really not going to do well at all. But what I'm going to do is spice it up. I'm going to pick Hamilton anyway.
It probably came down to the money. I think that's generally how like a lot of the picks come. It's like, let me just fit as many drivers in with the budget I have and see what happens.
The thing is, on paper, it sounds like a really strong team. You've got Verstappen in there. You've got Hamilton in there. You've got Mercedes in there. But the difference, I suppose, between Grid Rival and the normal F1 fantasy is there's so many more criteria in this one that it's not just a case of, okay, Max and Red Bull at the top, I can just put them in my team, keep them in there for the whole season, have a back marker who's going to gain positions, keep them for the season, and then just try and be smart with who you're picking in the middle. Because, you know, teams chop and change.
Yeah.
But not only with this, it's all about average points scored and beating your teammate in qualifying and the races. So there's so many more things that go into it. And also the rise and fall of prices are actually a lot more volatile than the normal F1 fantasy app. So it's a lot harder to pick your team. And sometimes you do sort of get undone. I suppose Max Verstappen, one of those that you think, yeah, that's a great pick. He's winning all the races. But, you know, he's come down, I think, like 2-3 million since I put him in my team. And he's won two of the races. Mm-hmm. So it makes it so much more difficult.
Do you know what, though? I really looked into this because I was looking at all of our teams. I was like, where are we going wrong? I started to look at other people's teams. I thought, okay, what have they done? And it was interesting, actually, Cam, because I looked that you picked Lance Stroll as your star driver and he got you 302 points. Whereas I've had, you know, Leclerc or Verstappen only really getting me, you know, 152 or 160, maybe 200 max. They weren't actually getting me lots and lots of points. So I thought you need to have your star driver that beats their teammate because they're automatically getting lots of points there, that they get performance of overtakes as well. So they're getting their points there. They need to qualify high and they need to finish high. If you get all of them, you're basically hitting nearly all of the points that you can get and then you double it. So Lance Stroll, although he gets a lot of criticism and he has done a little bit wishy-washy, I'd say, the first few races, he's actually doing really well in the points. So maybe
beat Lance the last time.
That's the way to go.
Don't slaughter my man, Lance Stroll.
I know.
Otherwise, he will come back to bite you.
He will. I think I need to put Lance Stroll in my team.
So talk about changes going into the Japanese Grand Prix. Now, if you've been watching this show for a while, don't worry if you haven't. Not a lot of people have. But we have not really done too many changes on my side. I've not really done any, mainly because I'm sticking to the criteria of I put everyone in for three races. The only change I actually did was Bottas and coming in for Logan Sargeant because Logan Sargeant was left out. So for me now, going after this third race, I've had to do a lot of changes.
Ooh.
And I've had to kind of work things out. And it's something you really do have to think about because not only am I thinking about, okay, cool, I've got this much money in my account, let's pop this person in here, this person in here, this person in here. Instead, I'm thinking about, okay, Max Verstappen, he's got two more races with me and then he's locked out for a race, so I can't choose him. Same with Red Bull. So I need to make sure I am still allowing a bit of budget to give me that freedom to maybe pick a couple of other drivers. Like if Verstappen goes from my team, let's not spend loads of money or lock people in for five races that I think are going to do well. Let's lock them in for two. And then that opens me up to sort of see, okay, maybe I can put a Piastri and a Norris in because McLaren are like decent, but cheaper. Same with the Ferraris. So with my picks, I've gone for Verstappen still. He's still my team. Bottas is still my team, but only for one more race and then he will switch out. Then I've got Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg because both Haas drivers, I think Haas are probably one of the strongest out of the back marker teams. I think, you know, it's going to be a struggle for any of those teams to score points unless one of the top five have a shocker of a race. But they're going to be the ones to pick up the pieces. They're in for three races. Tsunoda's in for three races because I think he's been doing quite well for the RB. He has, I feel like, outperformed the car and been a bit stronger. And if there is going to be anyone from outside Haas, it's going to be Yuki. And then I've still got Red Bull for two more races. So quite a few changes for me this time.
Yeah, quite an interesting lineup, really, because I think you do need to be quite mindful with the money. That's the thing, though.
I've got 3.6 million in the bank. My team value is 100 million now.
For a few races, then you say, like, it's better. There's a bonus there because, you know, then you can change someone. But I've had the worst issue with doing that. I've locked someone in for like one race or two races because I want to be able to open that up and pick someone who's performing better. And then I've lost so much money that I can't afford anyone else. So I don't know if that's a super good strategy, Aiden.
Well, I've just kind of like locked them in so that they are matching when Verstappen and Red Bull are out of their contract. And then I've got a clean sweep across everybody to kind of pick and choose. Going into Japan, Cam, have you been changing your team about or are we keeping it similar?
Changing a couple of small things. We talk about how Stroll might be actually a pretty decent pick. Well, he's gone.
Lance Stroll is out.
My heart just dropped.
I think I just had him signed for three races from the beginning. So he's just, you know, he's locked out basically. Otherwise, I probably would be smart to keep him. But I've replaced him with Ocon. I think the only reason I did that, and it's only for two races, is because he's had a couple of shockers recently. And I think he lost 2 million last race. So the strategy I had the first season I did Grid Rival that ultimately won me my league was to just buy low, sell high. I didn't even care about points until sort of like last third of the season. I just cared about trying to maximize dollars. And so the buying low, selling high thing worked. Now, whether or not I'm catching a falling knife and Ocon's going to keep falling down the order, I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, replacing Stroll with Ocon. And then the second thing, I am spending over half a million to get rid of Hamilton and replace him with Russell. I really didn't expect there to be such a discrepancy, but I need those, you know, teammate points. I need Russell to be, I mean, he's consistently beating Hamilton, so it just makes sense.
Yeah, it seems like some very smart moves between those two choices. I think, well, Hamilton won out for Russell, I definitely agree with. I think the Ocon one could be, yeah, it's one of those that you hope that Alpine kind of start to pick things up, but I'm worrying that Alpine are going to very much stay in the mud at the bottom of the standings. And whilst Ocon is the driver who is outperforming his teammates, you're going to get those bonus points there. That's going to be great. Then you can, but I just feel like because they're at the bottom, they're still just going to be dropping in value and value and value. So it could be a better choice to wait until they are, you know, fully at the bottom of the standings and how much they are in terms of money-wise, then put him in. And then, of course, you're going to get the points for beating his teammate. And then also, if anybody else retires from the race and he keeps it clean, overtaking position points as well.
Well, if you make Ocon your star driver as well, I think that's always the best option. If you go for drivers that, you know, are a little bit lower, you might as well just try and get double points. You don't have Stroll anymore, which he is the best one to go for, clearly, as your star driver. So,
Who would have thought that?
It's a little bit risky, Ocon, but I don't know. If you're wise with it, then maybe you can make it work for you. But 100%, I agree. Mm-hmm. Having Hamilton out and swapping George Russell in is the best thing if you're going to have the Mercedes drivers.
Yeah, Hamilton's had just a bit of a slow start this season. And I think you're right in saying that George Russell's had the more consistent results. And, you know, I hear what you're saying as well. There's that sort of tinfoil hat goes on. It's like, is the team fully favouring George now and not really paying much attention to Lewis? So we've got George in the team. We've got Ocon in the team. Verstappen's still in the team, correct? Who are the other two drivers? And then Mercedes is your other team, is the actual constructor, isn't it?
Yeah, Mercedes is the team. And then I've got Bottas and Magnussen, who, the Haases have been great, right? Like, they've actually been steadily improving. They've been really undervalued in the beginning of the season. Now, whether or not they survive kind of the high downforce tracks we're going to now is another question.
Yes.
the lower budget teams they tend to struggle with that. But and Magnussen's made me quite a bit of money so far.
Yeah, you make a good point there with the high downforce tracks, because Haas have been notorious this season for being really slippery in a straight line. Like, that teams have been saying that they've been struggling to sort of get past them in the straights, and then they just kind of hold them up in the corners. So that could be a factor that lets Haas down potentially this weekend at Japan?
Highly possible, yeah. I mean, I haven't been keeping up with all the technical stuff this year, but it's a kind of like Williams was back in like 2015-16. Like, they were just ridiculous down the straights. Didn't have a ton of downforce, but it still allowed them to kind of always be like that third, fourth place team. Obviously it all went downhill after that, but yeah, straight line definitely can, you know, make a big difference over the course of the season. But the next two races, it's risky to keep them, I think.
Let's talk then star drivers. So you've talked about it already quite a bit, about Lance Stroll last week being a really solid pick because he beat his teammate. Mm-hmm. He had a very strong result and probably beat his average as well last time out in Australia. So who have we gone for this week, Amber? Who's your star driver on the team?
Well, I've actually kept my star driver because, unfortunately, my team, again, has changed drastically. So I only had, I think it was Leclerc and Magnussen left.
Yep.
So I had to obviously get three other drivers, and my constructors were still there. Or did I have to get four other drivers? It was three or four. I really had to change it. And I had no money at all. And I didn't know what to do. And I bought Signs. And then I actually had no money left. So I got rid of Signs. Okay. And then I thought, okay, I can't afford maybe like one of your top drivers. It's got to be like top six minus. It can't be anything in the top six. So I've got Leclerc, Magnussen, Hulkenberg, which I didn't want him, but unfortunately is all I could afford.
Yep.
Bottas, again, because it was all I could afford. But I really wanted someone that was strong, so I went for Oscar Piastri. But I wanted Lando Norris, but I couldn't afford Lando Norris. So I really had to be super careful with my picks here. So I think it's a strong team. Kevin Magnussen is my star driver. However, I'm not convinced on that. I don't know whether to put it on Hulkenberg, because if Hulkenberg outperforms Magnussen, I can get more points there. Mm-hmm. However, we know Magnussen is great at overtaking and being a very aggressive driver. So I don't know. I don't think I've made the correct decision, but we shall see. It's really trial and error at this point.
We've got a bit of a fairly similar team with some of the drivers, both Haas and then Bottas in there as well. Mm-hmm. I think Piastri is a really strong shout, and I think McLaren are going to be strong this weekend because we saw it in Saudi. They were rapid through Sector 1, and then Mercedes would catch them back up in Sector 2 and Sector 3, where it was more straight line speed. And then Sector 1, they'd be able to get away to sort of just break that 1 second gap. So they weren't really able to overtake each other. So I think McLaren around Japan could be a very strong shout. For me, it was a similar decision between the two Haas drivers. Which one do I go for? I do feel like they're going to be the better Bottas. Sadly, for having a state driver in my team right now, I don't really want them because they just can't get the pit stops right at the moment. They just keep on getting them wrong. And it's costing them so many points in so many positions that they're basically way out of position. I think both of them, to be fair, could be where the Haas is, maybe slightly behind them if they didn't have these pit stop problems.
Yeah.
But for me, Haas, I went with Nico Hülkenberg. Again, it was between those two, but I think Hülkenberg, because he just usually has the better qualifying results and is on average getting the better results over Magnussen, I thought that was the better one to go with. Cam, who did you go with?
Well, since I have lost Stroll now, I've replaced him with Ocon. And just like, if we're looking at 8-race average, he's just the highest of the available drivers I have. So I've gone with him.
Smart choice. Let's talk a little bit about the Japanese Grand Prix then. And let's get our predictions for this weekend. Obviously, it's a bit of a different weekend and potential rain on the card. So our first wet race of the season. But Amber, give me a top three. What is your podium prediction for this weekend?
So I don't know if we have to bring in, you know, the last races of the Japanese Grand Prix because they've been crazy and chaotic. So can you really go off that? So I just think it's Max, ultimately, I think he's going to win. Unless we see a DNF, unless we see something go wrong with that car, I'm just putting Max wins, and especially if it's wet conditions, he's great in the wet. So I just think to win for Max, let's just lock that off. Second, Perez has a little bit of trouble. If anything happens, like last year, then potentially there's a bit of trouble for him. So I'm probably going to go out on a whim and say Sainz second and Perez third. And I'm just hoping for that. Maybe that's not going to happen. Maybe it's super unrealistic. But if something goes wrong and Perez, you know, doesn't qualify well, maybe the Ferraris can catch up. So that's my podium predictions.
What about you, Cameron? Who's your top three for this weekend's Japanese Grand Prix?
I think Max is the safe bet for the win. Quick in the wet, a good car with high downforce. So yeah, I mean, if it's definitely wet, I think Max is going to win it. Then also, if it's wet, I think Lando is going to be very, very, very quick. He was always the reference we used in F3. Like if it was raining and we had 30 minutes before quali, we were always whipping out Lando's onboard from the year previous. And then third, I think Sainz is on form. And as long as they have a car for Suzuka, then I think he's one to watch out for.
Yeah, I think some very, very strong picks there. I'm being selfish, and I'm going to say Max is going to win because it's going to help my fantasy and hopefully raise his price back up because I need it before I get rid of him. But then if we be realistic, I think Perez, yeah, he maybe is starting to struggle now with the car. You could be right there, but maybe that consistency is going to come back with him. But I'm gonna stick with my guns with Perez. I'm gonna stay. Okay. You know what? He's gonna still be strong. He's gonna be P2, and then P3. Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna go with Lando Norris on that one. I think it could be very strong. I think the McLaren's gonna be a very strong car over the Ferrari this weekend, and as you say, usually does well in the rain. So I think I will go for Lando Norris for my pick.
But
for that
no
one.
Perez on your predictions then, Cam. So where would you put him? Are you gonna put him P4 or something lower?
I'm at this point probably somewhere between P4 and P6. Like I haven't been super impressed with him this year. It's like, on one hand, I get it because like they're clearly building the car around Max, so it's going to be hard for anyone to just hop in there and perform. But I think a track like Suzuka really magnifies that problem because it's so technical, it's so precise, it's so high speed. I think he's going to struggle.
Well, there we go. Those are our top three picks for the Japanese Grand Prix. Thank you very much, Cameron, once again, for joining us on this week's WTF1 Fantasy F1 show. And congratulations at home to Sunha, who's currently winning our WTF1 league at the moment. So a big round of applause to you. Thank you for listening to the WTF1 Fantasy F1 show. Thank you very much, Amber and Cameron, for joining me for this week's show. Hope you guys all enjoy the Japanese Grand Prix this weekend and join us ahead of the next race in China, where we delve into some more fantasy. See you soon. Bye-bye.